This is Teenage Sports. I'm your host, Michael Barra. Today, we're going to be talking Texas and OU going to the SEC potentially. I have one of my good friends on today.
I'm Chloe Reeves.
She knows her college football real well. She's been on before many times. We're going to get started. So earlier last week or earlier this week, we've got a bombshell from, I think, ESPN or whoever broke it that Texas and OU is going to be potentially leaving for the SEC. Obviously leaving the Big 12, that's quite a big deal. It is pretty much confirmed up to this point that in 2025, they will not re-sign with the Big 12. And they will most likely, if the votes pass, go to the SEC. What are your first thoughts about this, Chloe?
I don't think that it's a great decision on anyone's part, honestly. OU's especially, I really, really think that OU, especially in football, is almost handed this Big 12 championship every year. And so going to a conference with schools like Alabama and Georgia and these teams that are consistently in the college football playoffs, that are you just kind of setting themselves up for failure because they're not going to be guaranteed a win as they almost are in the Big 12.
So currently there are 14 teams in the SEC. Is that correct?
Yes, 14-7. It's 7-7.
So we've seen some possibilities of how they would put this. There are potential like four interdivisions of the SEC. Do you want to go ahead and talk about a few of those?
Yeah. So it looks like what they've proposed is a four team pods. So there's four pods with four teams each. The first one being with Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina. The second one with Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vandy. The third one with LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and then lastly, Arkansas, Mizzou, OU, and Texas. So, realistically, they're keeping all the rivalries together, but they're splitting up all the best teams, which, as they should, you shouldn't put Alabama, OU, Texas, and Georgia all in one pod, as they're calling it. But they're kind of setting up with these four pods who's going to win. Like, obviously, Alabama is the favorite to win. Georgia is probably going to win theirs. There's a chance that Florida might, but it's probably going to be Georgia. A&M or LSU could win theirs. That one's not guaranteed. And then OU is most likely going to win theirs. So they're setting this up of the four teams that are going to win, but then that's not the champion of the SEC. So with this new proposed college football playoffs, who gets in?
So, with this move, I feel like this is potentially pushing for an 8-team playoff, or at least an extended playoff. I would assume if they're going to extend it, they're going to go to 8, not like a 10 or a 12 or a 6. I think 8 probably works the best. So, with them extending that, and I think they have to extend that because there is going to be so much good SEC football, let's be honest. OU is going to be really good in their pod. I mean, Chloe already said which teams are going to be very good, but those teams are going to play each other all the time. So if you see, let's say, a 2-loss Georgia, but what if those two losses are to like a Bama and an OU? That team has still got a good chance to make, let's say, an 8-team playoffs because those losses are powerhouse losses.
Well, I could be wrong, but the proposed playoff with the 8 teams is the conference winners get in and there's wild cards, right? It's so
like the four, or
it's the Power 5 conferences and then three wild cards. So what it looks like if that happens in this whole SEC, new SEC with the four pods, whoever wins the SEC will obviously get in. Mm-hmm. And then the other three wild cards will most likely be SEC teams. Because like you said, a 2-loss Georgia, or hypothetically a 2-loss Georgia to Alabama and OU is still one of the best teams in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So they're still going to get in. They're still going to get in over an Oregon or a Pac-12 team or a Big 12 team or a Big 10 team that has two or three losses because their conference is just better.
Yeah, because a two-loss Georgia is going to be better than, like you said, any Pac-12 team that doesn't win the Pac-12. A two-loss Georgia is going to be better than any current Big 12 team, which even though there's only eight teams with Texas and OU leaving, they'd be better than any of those eight teams that don't win the Big 12 or seven teams.
The thing is whoever doesn't win the SEC is still most likely going to be better than conference champions.
Yeah.
Like, let's just say Bama wins the SEC because that's probably what's going to happen. So, Alabama wins the SEC. Ohio State's probably going to get in.
Yeah.
Say the Pac-12. Clemson's probably going to get in.
Clemson.
Big 12, if you go by football, Iowa State or OSU is going to get in.
Yeah.
And then the Pac-12. Well.
USC?
Going by the past couple years, USC or Oregon probably.
So, but I would take.
But they're a two-loss Georgia, a two-loss OU.
But
a two-loss A&M, they're still better than all of those teams, with the exception of maybe Clemson and Ohio State.
Yeah, because we're talking about a two-loss Georgia that's also what? Potentially be an LSU, potentially be
a Florida.
A Florida.
Tennessee, because Tennessee is sometimes good. Like, yeah. They do have those.
So they're
an A&M.
They're going to have a lot. Texas. They're going to have better wins than Clemson. They're probably not better than Clemson, but they're going to have more competitive wins than Clemson.
They could be better than Clemson.
They could. And obviously, we're just using Georgia, but this could be any team that we're talking about. We're just using Georgia. But they could be better. They're going to be better than probably any Pac-12 team, even champion, because those Pac-12 teams are not going to have as impressive wins. And they're not going to have, I guess, as impressive losses, because they're going to lose to, unless they go undefeated, they're going to lose to other Pac-12 teams that is probably last year the worst Power 5 conference.
But the thing is like, if they don't change college football playoffs, I'm going to bet that every year at least two teams are going to be from the SEC.
I think, honestly,
three might even be from the SEC, and it might be an Ohio State that gets in, or a Clemson. The college football playoffs don't like Clemson, because Clemson doesn't play a good enough conference. We're talking about a great conference that's about to be formed, with teams that are going to have one, maybe two losses. They're going to get in.
Was OU the 4 seed last year?
OU every year they've gotten in has been a 4 seed.
Okay, so that would be your two SEC
But they didn't
teams.
Get in last year.
Last year they didn't?
No, because Spencer Rattler, because last year they lost to K-State. And they lost to... Who else did they lose to? They lost like 2 games in a row or 3 games in a row. They started off pretty rough last year, so they didn't get in. The last time they were in was Kyler. No, I'm just kidding. Jalen Hurts was the quarterback, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so they got in 2 years ago. But they've been a 4 seed. When they had Baker Mayfield, when they had Kyler, and then when they had Jalen, they were all 4 seeds. And they would usually get utterly destroyed by the number 1 seed.
Yeah.
Because they have no defense, and they're playing Nick Saban.
But, so, yeah, well, but just what I was just saying in general, there's your two SEC teams with OU and Texas leaving there.
Well, then also, Georgia has been in, too. So there's three SEC teams now
that have
now
consistently been in the playoffs for, what, the last 10 years, 5 years?
Yeah, so, every once in a while, you'll get the Notre Dame in there. Or you'll get the Clemson's been there in there the last, 4 years.
Yeah, and been a power.
The Ohio State's get in there. But there still has been, for the most part, the past 5-10 years, at least two SEC teams in it in general, and then OU has been in it. So now that's three SEC teams.
So you making that point really puts into perspective that if they don't extend the playoffs, there will never be a Pac-12 or a Big 12 team in there, because...
Or possibly a Big 10.
Well, Ohio State.
But Ohio State went on that 2-3 year run where they weren't good.
Yeah, but I think Ohio State. Let's say right now with the four, we are probably gonna have Bama and another team. So there's your two SEC teams, because I think that bottom or that second team in the SEC is better than any Pac-12 team or better than any Big 12 team currently.
Well, even recently, most of the time, the past couple years, last year and the year before, I think were an exception. There's been a couple of exceptions, but for the most part, Alabama and Georgia have both gotten in. Yeah. Because they win. Alabama usually wins the conference, and then Georgia wins their side, which is the worst side of the SEC.
Yeah.
They're not good. But those teams have been getting in already. So we're going to add two more teams to the SEC. Two decent teams. Well, yeah, one's okay. The other one's pretty good.
Yeah.
And not expect them to get in? It's kind of what it... Or you got to change the playoffs if this is going to happen.
Yeah. So obviously this is proposed, probably won't happen, or we're saying proposed, but it's looking day in day that it's going to happen. This most likely won't change anything until 2025 because they have to go through TV deals. They have to go through Texas currently has its own network.
They have to go through the contract with Big 12 too.
I think the Big 12 is going to find them. That's what I heard on, like, Colin Cowherd or some of these radio stations, that the Big 12 should find them, and well, I think they have the ability to.
Does the Big 12, the teams, the ADs, can they vote them in or out? Because I know the SEC ADs can vote the teams in. So the SEC ADs can say, okay, all 10 of us want them in. Those four don't, but we're the majority, so they're in.
I don't think the Big 12 ADs can necessarily vote them to stay, but I think they can probably vote on a fine, and they can vote on any way that they can make some money out of this, because obviously we are talking about a lot of money that is about to be traded around. But I don't think they have the power to make them stay. We've seen there was like legislation out of Lubbock or something trying to. I'm like, I'm sorry.
It was some stupid legislation too. I don't even remember what it was.
I'm sorry, but Austin legislation for Texas is definitely going to be better than Lubbock. The legislation out of Lubbock
was about like tourism,
yeah,
bringing tourism into the state of Texas, because now
ain't nobody going to Lubbock anyway.
It kind of made sense. It kind of doesn't. But what they were saying is pretty much so Texas in the Big 12. They're going to play, you play six games at home. So there are six games in Texas. And then you're also playing TCU, Baylor, and Tech. So now there's three more games that you're in the state of Texas for. So they're saying because they're leaving, the tourism for football in Texas is going to decrease because the University of Texas won't be playing as many games in the state of Texas.
It's not incorrect. But it's not, but that it's legislation not something that you can, it's not, you don't have that power. I mean, I understand that this,
like, the mayor of Lubbock cannot say that that's...
Yeah. And I mean, OU coming to Texas and playing Texas teams is a ton of tourism as well, even though it's just, you know, but it in theory makes sense, but they don't have, Lubbock legislation does not have the backing, does not have the power to do this.
But, okay, I kind of just thought of this now when... We were talking a little bit, but this was all announced on Big 12 Media Day.
Really? That's kind of awkward.
Because you said something about the Big 12 ADs being to vote in and out. I don't know why that just came to me, but this was announced on Big 12 Media Day. So maybe this was all planned to be announced that day. Maybe it was all planned to be announced when everyone's there talking about it.
I don't know, because maybe it was... Or planned by Texas and OU, but I generally do feel like these other ADs are shocked right now.
I don't think anyone knew.
Which is crazy, because how does nobody know?
This is completely, totally, 100%, like, under the table,
which like, is backdoor
kind of...
Scummy.
But the thing is like, what OU and Texas get out of the Big 12? Like, okay, Texas and OU... OU wins the Big 12... Every year that they had a Big 12 championship in football, OU has won.
Yeah.
Texas is just Texas. People just love the University of Texas.
They're not back, though.
It fails to see... I can't understand it, but they love... People love the Texas. They love basketball. They love baseball. They love football. Even when they're mediocre. Even when they're bad. So, these teams bring in more revenue than any other team.
Those two probably combine for... No, not probably. They definitely have... Those two teams combined for all of the rest of the teams.
And so the way that they pay teams, like the conference, the money gets distributed evenly amongst... So the Big 12 money will get distributed amongst 10 teams as of right now with Texas and OU. If they go to the SEC money is now getting distributed amongst 16 teams.
Yeah.
Obviously, the SEC does make more money and will make more money when Texas and OU go there. But OU is getting championships left and right in the Big 12 because they get better recruits. And Texas is still Texas and people love them. So they're getting plenty of money.
So you touched on the recruiting. Do you potentially think that Texas and OU, now they already recruit amazingly. We already know that. Do you think their recruiting can increase even more going to the SEC? Kids want to play in the SEC.
Personally, I think it will decrease. Because now you're not recruiting against Oklahoma State, K-State, TCU, Baylor. You're recruiting against Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, LSU, A&M. You're recruiting against higher tier schools. You're not recruiting against these, I don't want to say bad, but
we are pretty bad. The Big 12 has not been great.
Well, football wise.
Yeah.
Other sports,
we have
different.
Yeah.
But you're not recruiting. You're recruiting against literally the best teams in the country now. The number one, number two, number three, number four teams in the country. Not the number 24, number 25 teams in the country. So, like, recruiting could go up because, like you said, they're in the Big 12. People want to, I mean, the SEC. People want to play in the SEC. People want to play against Alabama. People want to play against Georgia. People want to play against Florida. But you're also recruiting against them now. Because the best players in the state of Texas are going to the OUs, the Alabamas, the Clemsons. Well, now you're straight up 100% toe-to-toe competing with Alabama in recruiting.
I don't think you're going to win many of those battles because Saban
knows. Because if I'm a defensive player and OU offers me a scholarship and Alabama offers me a scholarship, well, I hate to break it to you, but OU's defense is not good and Alabama creates some great defensive players. So I'm going to Alabama. That's it.
I think that's fair, and obviously competition is going to be ridiculous, and I generally don't think OU can put together a team that can beat Bama right now. Obviously, it's football, so there's flukes, but I think even with these two teams joining, it's still Bama's conference, and now Bama is going to, if they win the SEC, they're going to have, even with probably, I mean, they're going to have number one seed locked up pretty easily.
Okay, I kind of agree with you. I kind of don't on that OU-Alabama who would win thing. Obviously, yes, Alabama's going to win. But I think that OU can create a team to beat Bama. They already have an offense.
They just have never had a defense.
Lincoln Riley just needs to figure out how to coach a defense, because if he can figure out how to coach a defense, I don't like saying this because I'm not an OU fan, but Lincoln Riley is a great offensive coach.
Yes, I can definitely agree with that.
He's great. You know, I did not like Lincoln Riley because I thought that he got handed all these quarterbacks, which he did. He got handed quarterbacks, and at the point he got handed Baker, people knew that he was going to be great because they had watched the year before that he was starting to become that Baker Mayfield who won the Heisman. Kyler, people did hype him up. Nobody really knew exactly what was going to happen with him. He came out, and to me, that Kyler Murray team was probably their best chance of winning the national championship.
Yeah.
Over Baker and Jalen. And then he got handed Jalen from Nick Saban. Literally from the palms of Nick Saban. There he goes.
But are we pretty much at the point where this is an all Lincoln Riley team? These are all his recruits. These are all his
players,
pretty much.
This will be his fifth year. So, unless players because of COVID rule and stuff.
Yeah. Because they got
this is pretty much his team.
Yeah.
But Spencer Rattler 100% is his. And watching even what Spencer Rattler went from the first 10 game or sorry not 10 5 games of the season to the last 5 games of the season, it was a completely different Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, he,
because when he lost to K-State, you're like, this kid is awful. He's not good. Why is he a Big 12 quarterback? Why is he an OU quarterback, actually?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you see him play against not better teams, but you see, you watch him against Iowa State in the Big 12 Championship, and you're like, he might actually be good. Like, this kid is actually good. And then now you're like, oh, crap. Like, what's he going to do next year? Well, what is this going to look like next year if this is what he looks like now?
Is he a true freshman? Or was he a redshirted?
I'm pretty sure he was a true freshman.
Jeez.
I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive he was a true freshman. So, yes. As of right now, Alabama will beat OU. But that could change. And by 2025, that could change too.
Yeah, but that's...
Nick Saban's contract is till 2027.
Yeah, he's going to go. He's
maybe 2028.
He can stay as long as he wants, though.
By that time, he's going to be like 80 years old, though. Does he want to stay?
He's not that old, is he?
He is. I'm almost positive. Let's look it up. Let's look it up. I'm pretty sure he'll be
Nick
like...
Nick Saban.
Let's...
I thought he was like mid-60s.
No, he's like old.
No way.
Okay, Nick Saban right now is 69.
Oh, my
gosh. So in 2028...
He would be almost like 80.
Yeah. So he might be gone by then.
Looking good. Looking good. Still coaching good.
So...
So one thing that we've kind of skipped over and not really touched much, but obviously with Texas and OU leaving the Big 12, there are other teams. Me and Chloe are very against our, so I'm a TCU fan. She is an Oklahoma State fan. We are very against our teams going and leaving for the Pac-12. Do you want to get into why, kind of? Because, I mean, we,
there's so many reasons.
Well, for one, I think we can compete in the Pac-12. But there's also
I think
some...
we would have anyone in the Big 12, honestly, in all sports would have the best chance to win, especially baseball. Because you think about it, there's still great baseball teams in the conference, even without with Texas and OU leaving. So baseball, for sure they could win, for sure. Basketball, yeah, with the exception of UCLA and Oregon State, basketball is awful.
TCU basketball might be the worst program in the country.
No, Iowa State's pretty bad. So if we're talking the whole Big 12 going to the Pac 12, yeah,
fair,
Iowa State.
Fair.
Iowa State's got y'all beat.
Yeah.
But so honestly, in other sports, if the Big 12 moves to the Pac 12, they
could hands down win.
But football. I don't know.
That's a whole... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's a whole other level that people don't talk about, is it's not just the football teams that are leaving. TCU was, I think, top 10 in baseball rankings. We didn't even make it out of our own regional. Kind of embarrassing. OSU...
OSU, too. OSU, same thing. OSU, the two teams that play in the Big 12 Championship don't make it past the region.
So there's good baseball. There's decent basketball still left. Actually, Baylor...
Yeah, the champion. And then you have Kansas. Kansas is an OG blue blood. Kansas is...
Baylor.
No matter how... Kansas might have a bad season down the road. They're going to rebound off of it.
Yeah.
Because they're Kansas. People want to go to Kansas. Kansas is historically a great program. People want to go to Baylor. Baylor has become a great basketball school.
Yeah, women's too.
So...
There are other sports that there's so much, and that's why.
But
it could none of this could have happened in a week, and there's so much that is going to happen with these teams leaving.
Yeah, but we're talking about OU and Alabama playing in football. Okay, let's talk about basketball. You're talking about you have the SEC now. Basketball is almost going to be the same as football. Football. The SEC will probably win the national championship for the next 15 years with this new addition. Okay, well, basketball, they might be in the same boat. You have Kentucky. But you have Kentucky, you have Alabama, you have OU, you have Texas. These teams that play great basketball. But kind of
recruit in basketball, too.
I'll, like, kind of play devil's advocate with myself here. The Big 12 in basketball, this year, best basketball conference. The Big 12, usually in basketball, it seems, has their one team that's, like, top tier. This year it was Baylor. And slightly Kansas. Kansas didn't lose a lot, but...
Yeah, but they weren't as good
as usual. Yeah, and they weren't Baylor. So you have Baylor, and then you have every other team that's pretty much even, and they're good teams. They're top 25 teams. So you have that every year. In the SEC, you don't have that. You usually have Kentucky on top because Kentucky's historically a great conference and they have a great coach. And then you never have the same teams that are great. But you're adding Texas and OU to that, and they've been pretty good the past couple of years.
Yeah.
So
this affects so many sports that it's going to be interesting. Baseball, I mean, Texas baseball was number two in the nation.
Okay, and well, they went Texas, far. Okay, baseball.
OU, I don't know if they're.
Baseball now?
They're not great at baseball.
The SEC is going to win it. You have Vanderbilt, you have Mississippi State, you have Texas, Tennessee.
You now have 1 and 2 national ranks. Oh, Mississippi State. They won it all.
You have Mississippi State, Vanderbilt,
Ole Miss. Texas,
Ole Miss.
Oh, my God.
Tennessee
was good last year.
Were,
I think, top 10.
Were the last six teams in the College World Series.
They may be more dominant in baseball than football, and people aren't even talking about it.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I said. How is anybody else going to win in baseball? And the only other
SEC baseball has always been good, but now you're adding Texas, and OU wasn't great, but they have potential to be better, especially if they're going to be able to be in the SEC.
The only people that are going to rival the SEC in baseball will be what is the Big 12 right now, which could possibly not be the Big 12 anymore. Who knows? But they still do have TCU, OSU, and Tech.
Yeah.
So they could still rival them. Probably not, though. And NC State.
It's still going to be tough.
And NC State can rival them. Cause
yeah, well, if they are able to keep that up. I don't know
if they will. If they keep playing like they did in College World Series, NC State could rival it. But what's going to happen with college baseball? Is the SEC going to win the College World Series every year along with football, the national championship?
Yeah, nobody, because obviously football is America's sport. It's the hot topic. Everybody loves and watches football. But we are creating even more of a college baseball powerhouse in SEC with those two teams leaving, and nobody's talking about it. And it's going to make, so you noted that you think it's starting to turn into monopoly. I think monopoly may be harsh because there are, so I think in my eyes, a monopoly is there is no chance of competition. There is chance of competition. It's just small. So well, it's hard to.
There's not a chance of competition because the competition is so spread out. Does that make sense? You don't have your competition. The competition in the SEC is, the SEC is so concentrated. So the pretty much the best schools, sports-wise, are all in the SEC. The other schools that do rival them and that do fall in that powerhouse category are not in the same conference. They're spread out.
Yeah, so they don't have to play.
So you're not, like,
consistently playing good teams.
Yes, it's all concentrated. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I think we can both agree consistently playing good teams is going to make your team better.
Oh, of course.
So, because if you're playing bummy schools in all your sports, like McWright State or something
Appalachian
good.
State?
Appalachian's got a football team. But you're playing goofy schools, not trying to be mean, but just random schools all the time, like Pac-12 teams. The SEC is going to have such a big leg up in competition because they're just consistently playing amazing competition. Even if they're losing, they are understanding and getting better from their losses, better than any other conference is going to be.
Well, also, imagine, in comparison to the other conferences, how much money the SEC is going to bring in.
So I saw
that's going to make it a monopoly. There's going to be no competition for any other conference to make the money to profit off of their sports the way that the SEC does. For 100%. Because, okay, look, the Big Ten. The Big Ten has Ohio State. They have Michigan, but Michigan hasn't been good in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
So they have Ohio State. The ACC has Clemson. That's it. Like, I can't think of anyone else that truly, truly is a
powerhouse.
Even in any other sport. Like, that's football, but what other sport is there a powerhouse that's not going to be in the SEC now?
I mean,
we can profit off name, image, and likeness as athletes, so...
Yeah.
So now the SEC's athletes are going to be making hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more money.
Well, so real quick, we'll get into NIL. I saw a figure, this could be completely wrong. It said a potential income of like $1.3 billion for the SEC. I don't know if that's just football. I don't know if that's TV deals. But we know the money is going to be outrageous. But... you cannot tell me that these athletes are going to want to go to the Pac-12 and make Pac-12 money over going to SEC and play. They could be a bench player, but they're going to have a Gillette deal or something. Because
they're going to have a Nike deal.
Yeah, they're going to have a Nike deal because they're going to Bama. Or they're going to...
because they were the number one recruit in the state of Texas. Yeah. Or the number one recruit in the state of Alabama. Or the number one recruit, yeah.
So there is so much going on in college sports right now with NIL and now this big blockbuster that there's going to be some people that are...
breaking news that no one knew was coming.
Which is insane. I don't understand how they kept this under wraps because nothing is kept under wraps anymore.
Well,
something always gets out.
What shocks me is... it was kept under wraps, and it's the caliber of it truly changes college sports.
Oh, the caliber of it is probably even bigger than NIL, and NIL is huge.
It truly 100% changes college sports.
Oh, yeah, because it changes every conference. It changes money. It changes so much.
In 2025, when the media rights are up for OU in Texas, and they might go to the SEC, who knows, whatever. College sports will not be the same. Because you will not be seeing many championships come out of teams that aren't in the SEC.
Which sucks because that's just not fun. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, what percentage of do you think the top 100 recruits, let's say in football, would go to the SEC?
With OU and Texas there?
Yes. So just a percentage number of the 100 players, would you say because obviously this is not going to be correct. It's not going to be, this is just a random number.
I would say at least 75%.
I'd say 70, 75.
Because there are going to be some that go to Clemson. There are going to be some that go to Ohio State. There are going to be some that go to Michigan.
Those are hometown schools for those kids, and they don't really care.
Those teams, like, I don't know what Clemson's going to look like without Trevor Lawrence. I don't know what that's going to happen. So I don't know how good Clemson's going to be. I'm assuming they're still going to be pretty good because they're still going to get the best recruits in the ACC for sure. But, so there are going to be I said 75%. There are going to be the 25%. That some of them go to Clemson, some of them go to Ohio State, some of them go to Michigan because they are historically great programs, because they have great coaches. They have
the prestige.
They have the prestige. They have that honor. But other than those three schools, football-wise, everyone else is in the SEC.
So let's say 70% of the top 100 goes to the SEC. Competition is not going to fare well because we see teams, so group of five, is that what it's called in the non-power five schools or group or what are
I don't even know. So, I don't really follow much of them, so I couldn't really tell you.
So the conferences that aren't the power five, like the Athletic and so let's say a Cincinnati, I highly doubt they have a five-star recruit on that roster. They may not even have more than one four-star. They may not have a four-star. That team was very good, but you can only do so much with three-star recruits.
You can only develop players so far.
And SEC is just going to bring in anybody and everybody that they want, that even if they stink at coaching, it's not gonna necessarily matter.
Well, the thing is like, you use Cincinnati, which is a great example because they were really good last year. Cincinnati, let's say they have majority three-star recruits, because I feel like that's probably about right. You can take a three-star recruit and develop them to their full potential. Well, when you take a five-star recruit and develop them to their full potential,
it's quite different.
It might not be, because maybe somebody might shock you. There are wild cards. There are freaks of nature out there. But logically, realistically, when you think of that, a five-star recruit at its full potential is going to be better than a three-star recruit at its full potential. Just logically. That is just straight logic. So when you have five or six teams in the SEC full of five-star recruits that they're going to be developed to their full potential, and you have every other conference, not even Power Five, every other conference with three-star recruits developed to their full potential, there's no competition. That's no competition.
Yeah.
That's like a college team playing a high school team and expecting the high school team to win.
Well, we've seen some scenarios, so I would say Trevor Lawrence was a maxed out five-star. He probably got the most potential. I don't know what star Zach Wilson was. I would say he wasn't a five, probably not a four. He went to BYU, but I would assume they got the most out of him. And what pick did he go? He went two. So there's definitely chances and definitely potential, but it's going to be so hard for these, even like a team like OSU, Oklahoma State, that's what I'm talking about, who are going to get decently consistent fours and good threes, and TCU is going to get threes and a few fours. Those are going to be good football teams, but it's not going to matter when it comes to these SEC schools, because they're just going to bowl over them like Bama has been doing to the four seed every year that they're the one.
Well, and
because that four seed's usually a Big 12 team.
Yeah, again, we're
usually OU.
We're strictly talking football. Yeah. This can also go baseball. This can also go basketball. You're talking about, especially baseball. I totally feel like baseball. Like, you're going to take a pitcher that you recruited that's a five-star pitcher and develop him to his full potential, and then people in other conferences are going to have two three-star pitchers and develop him to his full potential. Well, let's logically think about this. Who do you think is the better pitcher? Like, there's, yeah. So this isn't just football. I know we're using the football analogy of it, but it's becoming so just catastrophic to sports, in my opinion. Because we're taking this kind of well-balanced right now. Not necessarily well-balanced.
It's not balanced.
It's more well-balanced.
It is more than it will be with Texas and OU.
With Texas and OU, you're making the Big 12 and the Pac-12 virtually just kind of pushing them to the side. They're neither of them are going to be good after Texas and OU leave. And then you have the Big 10. Okay, they're okay.
Yeah.
They have teams in some sports that are okay.
I'd probably say they're how would you rank your current conferences with, let's, before,
so Texas, we're gonna say Texas and OU still in the Big 12.
Yeah.
SEC number one.
Yeah, still. I say Big 10, then ACC.
The ACC is not in my top three.
Really? I mean, I know they suck, but
Clemson, it's either gonna be Big 12 or Big 10 for a second. Because the thing is for me, the Big 12 this year was the best basketball conference, for sure. No one held a candle to what the Big 12 had.
Yeah.
Conference-wise. Because they did have the team that won it all, but they also had, like, if I'm not mistaken, five out of the 10. And no, six. They had six teams in. Yeah, I think they had six teams in March Madness. So, in my opinion, no one held a candle to that in basketball-wise. And then baseball, well, they were still pretty good in baseball, too.
Yeah, they were good.
Honestly, I do think that
could have been better if we got over our dang regionals, but
if all the teams got over the regionals, yeah. Because most of them lost in the regionals. Yeah,
Big 12 got depleted in their regionals. TCU lost our hosted regional. You guys were in a...
Well, didn't Tech lose their regional too? Yeah, and it was hosted too. It was their hosted regional as well. So the regional that the region that OSU was in was a tough region.
Oh yeah.
But they still lost in it. But so I think it might go SEC, Big 12, Big 10, ACC, Pac-12.
Okay. I can see
the Pac-12 base basketball. You had UCLA and Oregon State. So, and you had Oregon in there. So, you know, we could. But the Pac-12 to me is just.
You can move them around, but SEC is already so far ahead, and you're going to add two schools that are probably top 10.
Two schools that are holding the Big 12 up there.
Yeah. That's why the Big 12 teams are wanting to leave right now, because there's no incentive to stay in this, what now looks like a group of five conference.
This is just, it's like a group of misfits. Like, it's, I don't, there's no, there's nothing there.
Because what? So you go on to win the big, let's say they don't change it at all and it's the eight teams. What, you go on to win the Big 12, which is so sad that it would probably, they'd probably still keep that name.
But I'm going to change it to the Big 8. There was already a Big 8. So
you're going to win that conference. Oh, yeah. Let's say OSU wins it. Or no, let's say Iowa State wins it. Oh, look at their path. They had to beat TCU, OSU, K-State, Kansas, Baylor.
They had to beat nobody. Football team that hasn't won a game in like 10 years. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, nobody. So, I don't even. Which, like, it's so embarrassing.
The thing is like, with all this going on, I've only heard of one Big 12 team that has been talking to another conference trying to get out.
Nah, TCU has been talking a lot. Okay. They want to go to the Big 12 or Pac-12.
See, what I've heard, the only one that I heard was Oklahoma State to the Big 10, which, in my opinion, would be a great match for Oklahoma State. Because
I think they could compete in those sports with those football teams.
Oklahoma State, people don't really talk about it, but they're really honestly in the past, since Mike Gundy's got there, they've been mediocre at their worst.
Yeah.
You know, they usually win 8 to 10 games every year. They consistently have that 8 to 10 win those seasons.
And Spence had a rough year last year, but I do Spencer, think he does have potential.
Me talking about Spencer Sanders could take up a whole nother podcast. So we are not going to talk about him. But so I think personally they could compete in the Big Ten in football.
Yeah.
Then basketball. Well, nobody in the Big Ten is great at basketball recently. Like, Michigan. And then Michigan State has been good in the past. But no one else is really, like...
Big Ten baseball is awful.
And the Big Ten baseball is awful. So
I don't even know if
they have, and just those three main basic sports, Oklahoma State can compete. And then wrestling... Well, wrestling is a whole nother thing. Oklahoma State's wrestling team is the best ever. And the Big Ten is in the Midwest, which is known for wrestling. So, in my opinion, it looks like Oklahoma State could go there and do fine. Honestly, even the same for TCU, probably. Could go there and do great. Especially baseball.
Yeah.
Tech, same thing. Baseball. And well, basketball, they probably won't be as good without Chris Beard. Yeah. Who is now at Texas, who will be going to the SEC. So, let's just put another chip in this. How good is the SEC going to be in every other sport? So, the Big 12 could... Most of them could possibly go to the Big 10 and compete. If they go to the Big Pac-12, they're 100% going to compete. Because the Pac-12 is awful.
Man, this is... I'm just going to name this Pac-12 haters. We have dumped on them so much.
We're really strictly talking football. Because let's think about, like, the Pac-12 and basketball. Two of the teams were in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Two teams that played in the first four were in the Final Four from the Pac-12. So, I mean...
They're good basketball. And They have decent baseball.
So, like, football, we're like, awful. We hate the Pac-12. They're awful. We're strictly talking about football.
I feel like Cali should produce decent football players. And they should be able to recruit over there.
They did. They used to. USC used to be like a powerhouse.
Didn't DJ Ugalele, wasn't he from Cali? And now he's over in Clemson.
Who knows?
That's a far way for him. But
I would leave any school in California to go to Clemson.
There's,
personally. But.
So let's try to look at some good coming from this. I think I think this will be, so I think college football needed a realignment anyway. Obviously, the Big 12 currently has 10 teams, and the Big 10 currently has 12 teams. That's silly. I think one of the big issues currently has been these group of five teams. That's what I'm going to call them. I don't even know if that's what they're called. Like Cincinnati, Liberty, Coastal Carolina, BYU. Do you have some others? Just some of these teams. UCF a few years ago when they went undefeated and crowned themselves champs.
Because they didn't get in.
Yeah, because they didn't get in.
Because two SEC teams got in.
Yeah. So this has the potential to give it. Now, some of those schools may not do it, which would be silly, but if they want a chance to actually go to the playoffs, they should join a conference. This is going to give some of these smaller teams, like a Cincinnati Liberty, like I said, this will give them a chance to join a Power 5 conference. Could be the Big 12, a few of those teams join the Big 12. Maybe a few of those teams, if we really see a lot of movement, a few of those teams moving around and going, we can see teams join the Big 10, teams join the Pac-12. The ACC could add some teams. I doubt the SEC would add anything more.
What I've been seeing with conference realignments and just proposed conferences, I honestly think people just make these up in their free time. So
they're pretty cool to look at, though.
They're great. They're great to look at. It seems like because the SEC is getting 16 teams, that's what they'll have with OU and Texas, that every other Power 5 conference is pushing for that 16 team.
I like the idea.
I'm fine with that. Because you think about it, like, the SEC, not everyone in the SEC is playing each other every year.
Yeah.
Everyone in the Big 12 plays each other every year. Not like, so if you had the 16 teams, not everyone would play each other unless you wanted to make a longer season.
Yeah.
Which would be longer than an NFL season, so I don't think they would do that.
Yeah, I don't think that would be smart.
Because if we're keeping that same, like, kind of format that we have the past for as long as I can remember, you have the three out of conference, and then you have your in-conference games. So if you have 16 teams and three out of conference games,
that would be
that's a
19-game
season. Yeah, so no that's way. Longer than the NFL regular season. Don't think that's happening. But unless we're going to start football in June and play it all. But the 16 team is kind of what I've been seeing.
I like the format, and I like it to be consistent everywhere.
But I've also, it just seems to me, we're taking these teams that aren't Power 5 teams and putting these in. Well, that still doesn't equate to what the SEC is.
Yeah, because
unless we're going to take, like, Vandy out because they're bad at football, but they're really good at baseball, so we're going to throw them in somewhere else. Like,
well, so obviously in a lot of these, like, projections and, like, these mock realignments that we've seen on, like, Instagram, they're like for the Big 12, there's like UNT joining. These teams would get killed, but they're trying to hit that 16 team quota. But we also have to think there's only so many colleges that are actually good. I think Cincinnati's good, and I think that they probably would have still got killed by the one seed last year. But Cincinnati was good at football last year. I don't know, but also something that people don't think is if these group of five teams join, they could potentially not have good other sports. It could just be their football team that was overperforming.
Which we talked about this when Cincinnati kind of got proposed. We saw a mock of Cincinnati being in the Big 12. And Cincinnati is better than most teams in the Big 12 as of right now. But the thing is like, Oklahoma State is proposed in this, and if Iowa State was in this, I would use them as an example too. They just consistently get better recruits. Cincinnati gets good recruits every once in a while. And so Cincinnati's not consistently the past 10 years has been this 11-win team.
No.
So, yeah, right now they're great. Right now they're really good. Could they compete against this new SEC? Who knows? But in the future, they might not be that good. Because they're not a team that gets, like you said, 5-star recruits. Sometimes they don't even get the best 3-star recruits. Yeah. So,
well, that's the thing is joining. Like, I would love to see, like, I really generally would love to see a Tennessee or a Cincinnati in a Power 5 team. But like you just said, these aren't teams that are consistently good like Clemson has been for the last 5 years. I think UCF may have had a losing season last year. Or
yeah, I think they won like four games, maybe.
A few years ago, they went undefeated.
I don't think they were even bowl eligible.
So can you consistently count on those group of five teams when they join these Power Five conferences? I don't think you can. So, and obviously their group of five teams, they're not going to really help the TV deals very much. So as much as I'd love to see these teams join to add the numbers and make it all even and stuff, I don't know if we're going to see them be competitive.
Well, like, this is the one that I've seen a lot of places. We sent it to each other right when it came out. This is the one that I've seen most places, that a lot of people have reposted and everything. And honestly, this one makes the ACC better.
You want to go through it?
You're adding... Okay, so this one says the ACC would be Virginia, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, West Virginia, Louisville, Syracuse, Pitt, Boston College, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Duke, Miami, UNC, North Carolina State, Wake Forest, and Clemson. So you're realistically making the football side of the ACC better. You're adding West Virginia. You're adding Notre Dame. You're adding Louisville. Those all make that better. Well, yeah. Louisville's already in this ACC. So you're adding Notre Dame and you're adding West Virginia, which realistically make it better.
Yeah. Well, Notre Dame has been sitting in that independent spot for so long, which is
Notre Dame just plays however the heck they want. And usually it's not even good teams, and they go to the college football playoffs
and get killed.
And everyone's like, oh, Notre Dame's going to win. No, they're not. They just got killed.
Yeah.
By a not very good team. But okay, besides the point. Yeah. Whatever. But then the ACC basketball-wise, you have Duke and North Carolina, two of the most literally iconic basketball programs ever. Coach K is obviously leaving, and Roy Williams is retiring. So, you know, that could change it up. But then you have West Virginia, still a really good basketball, a decent basketball school, and you have Virginia. So, and Syracuse off and on and has a decent basketball team. So,
oh, and that is West Virginia joining the ACC.
That's the West Virginia in the ACC. Big 12, yes.
And which has never made sense. So,
no, it's never
they're off been. Over there and they're yeah. somehow in the Big 12. Makes no
but,
sense.
But, you know, so honestly, this ACC looks better than it is
yeah.
right now. But then you look at the Big 10, looks almost the same. It does kind of make sense. The Big 12 teams are adding Kansas and Iowa State, considering Iowa and Iowa State play each other every year out of conference as a rivalry.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So wait, they're taking... So this obviously, we're just going off of a random thing, just for fun at this point. So this has the Big 10 taking Iowa and Iowa State. Is that what you just said?
Iowa's already in the Big 10. It's taking Iowa State and Kansas.
The Big 12 is going to get depleted.
So literally what looks like it's happening is most of these conferences are staying the same or going up a little bit. They're kind of adding some teams that might give them a dynamic in another sport, not necessarily football. And then the Big 12 is taking every other team. Every team that's not in a Power 5 conference is coming into the Big 12.
Yeah. So
virtually, like, not necessarily.
In that projection.
No, pretty much every team.
In that projection, it's adding some group of five teams. It's making all the conferences more competitive except the Big 12. Which
now it's going to be called the Big 16.
Yeah. Well, but also, it was two Big 12 teams that left in the first place. So it's not necessarily the Big 12's. I mean, they should be the ones getting worse, and they are the ones getting worse because there's nobody to add.
What? Like, just...
Because they
like,
still have to go off of geography, you know? Like, that's how...
Well, none of these are really off geography. Like, why is... Well, actually, Tech in the Pac-16 kind of makes sense. TCU in the Pac-16 does not make sense.
That's far.
If I took anyone else from the Big 12 to the Pac...
So who in the heck? So TCU and Tech are in this projection in the Pac. So who in the heck is in the Big
12? So the Big 12 is now North Dakota State, which North Dakota State in football has destroyed in D2. But it's D2.
They're a D2 powerhouse that
that's gonna go.
It's gonna get killed.
Doesn't make sense. Okay, Air Force.
Oh my god.
Oklahoma State. Tulsa, which Tulsa in the past couple years has had a decent football team, but nothing that I think could compete, really.
No.
Kansas State, who's not even good at football in general.
No.
Wyoming, or Wyoming State. Oh, I don't know which one this is. I think it's Wyoming. I think it's Wyoming.
Okay.
Memphis. Which Memphis, every once in a while, will have, like, these great football teams, and you're like, where did this come from?
Decent basketball.
And then all of a sudden, it'll be, like, they'll, like, plummet downhill, and it'll be awful. So, like, I don't know. Cincinnati.
Okay.
So, right now, all the Big 12 has going for it is Oklahoma State and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's all we got. In every sport. In every sport, that's all we have. Houston, basketball.
Really
they got
good,
that going
really
for
good
it.
Basketball.
Baylor, basketball. And if they hire the right coach, football. So they got that going for them.
Yeah.
So four. We got four teams out of 16. We got a fourth of this conference.
I think every single team is going to get
then now we
by
have
SEC.
Central Florida. So UCF.
That geography, USF. That geography doesn't make sense.
USF. So Southern Florida. Louisiana Tech. Which, I didn't even know Louisiana Tech was D1.
Yeah.
But besides the point. SMU.
They should be in a
SMU
Power 5.
Is entering the Power 5 conference without TCU, who's their rival.
Oh, yeah, so we get rid of that rivalry.
So that makes no sense. Rice.
Oh, no.
Academically, this conference is looking great.
Yeah, this is going to be a real smart conference, but...
We might as well add Texas back, and then we would have some scholars in this conference. We should just add Harvard and Yale right now.
Yeah.
And then nice. UNT.
Oh, my God.
So
gosh,
we are
that conference looks like a current day Group 5 conference. That is awful. That's the Athletic. Like that is.
I still don't know why Gonzaga hasn't been added.
Because they're probably. I think they weren't awful at baseball. They're not even in that at all.
No, they're not in this at all.
Huh.
And then I'm looking here at the SEC, and it's like.
Does their basketball team play in a conference, or are they an independent?
I don't even know.
I don't know.
I just know that they're good.
That. Yeah, I know that they play good
I basketball. Love watching them play basketball. I just don't know.
So, obviously, the Big 12 would be a joke, and that would
No, it's
suck.
The Big 16.
Oh,
the Big 16 would be a joke.
I would not. I do not want to cheer
but,
for
But you also have the Big
Pac
16.
Pac 16 team.
The Pac 16. You have two Big 16s.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense, but besides the point. So
you have to change the names.
I just don't know. The conference is 100% need to be realigned. Like, 1,000%. And I think this move from Texas and OU definitely makes it clear that they need to be realigned.
But I think them moving screws all the other realignment.
Yeah.
Because now, like I said, a lot of this still is off of geography. Pac-12 teams are over there, and Big Ten teams are up there, and there's a reason. There's a reasoning that these conferences were made and how they are.
But the
with
is,
OU and Texas leaving, it screws everything up for Texas, which has so many good schools, but it just ruins so
the
much.
The thing is, geographically, the team in, like, the central time zone, a team in the central time zone is going to be the powerhouse because that's where all the powerhouse schools are.
Yeah.
That's where Ohio State, that's where Alabama, that's where Michigan State, all the Texas teams, all the Oklahoma teams, all the Kansas teams, like majority of those really, really good teams are in that geographical region. So one way or another, it's kind of just how it fell, honestly. But I don't know. I don't even know how they're going to realign these conferences to geographically make sense and athletically make sense.
Yeah, because, that's why I generally think it's smart that it's not happening next year, because it could potentially take them 5 years just to figure all this out.
Oh,
because,
for sure.
Because think about it, like we're trying to do our best here about talking about basketball, baseball, and football, but
There's
10 other sports that all
so
these
other
schools
sports.
Have. And we're
Tennis,
just talking about...
golf.
Volleyball.
Wrestling. Volleyball. Swimming.
Swimming.
Like
dude,
gymnastics. Like
the northern teams have hockey teams, I think. So there's so much that these people are going to have to do with this realignment. Would not want to have that.
Because
actually,
I don't know...
Be fun.
Well, in conferences, the Big 12, I know this just from the Big 12, I don't know... If the Big Ten is like this too. But like the Big 12 for wrestling, because not every Big 12 school has wrestling.
Yeah.
It's like a Midwest thing. is completely different. So, are we going to have, like, different conferences?
All right, it cut off, but we're just going to get right back going. So, our next topic, we want to talk about the NIL. Currently was passed 2 weeks ago.
No, it was passed before that. It was passed in the middle of June.
So,
or closer to the end of June. So, it's been, like, about a month, probably.
So, obviously huge. Differing opinions on it. Currently, I've liked how it's gone so far, but we haven't been through a recruiting class with it. So we don't know. That was my only issue. I want these athletes to get paid, and I think they deserve to get paid off of what they do. They are grinding morning to night, and they are performing and selling out tickets all the time. But I was more worried about the competitive balance. Now, I don't know if NCAA up at this point cares about competitive balance with Texas and OU joining the SEC, but that's what I was more worried about with NIL is, will those kids, why would they go to any other conference than at this point the SEC, because they're going to make the most money in the SEC?
Well, I know right when the NIL was passed, I actually got the chance to talk to the AD of Wake Forest, which Wake Forest is, I didn't know this, learned this that week. Wake Forest is the smallest Power 5 conference, or the Power 5 school.
Dang.
So, the AD, you know, everybody is so for this. Everyone's so like, yes, they need to get paid, blah, blah. He was totally against it. Because you are, like Wake Forest, for example, if this athlete can get paid somewhere else, Wake Forest is not going to where they're going to get endorsed for anything. Because honestly, at that point, they're not really playing for their name, image, and likeness. You know, they're playing to play the sport.
Yeah.
At a school like that, when you go to Alabama, you're definitely your name, image, and likeness is out there. Yeah. It's out there on everything. So, there's not really a fair, like, balance. If that makes. That's the right word.
It's extremely hard to balance.
Exactly, because Alabama's not going to compare to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Ohio State's not even going to compare to Iowa in their conference. Like, it's so unregulated, maybe, is kind of what I'm saying. Like, if there was some sort of regulation, I would definitely like this. But it just seems that
there's just no way to regulate it, though.
But, yeah, there's not really a way, because you can't be like,
hey, Nike, don't pay Alabama athletes.
Well, no, you have to endorse, or hey, Nike, you have to endorse a player from Alabama and you have to endorse a player from UNT. Like, they're not going to do that.
I mean, that's the best idea that I think I've heard to balance this, is if they had to hit quotas for certain teams. But also, teams, I don't know if those teams are going to, or those, I don't think Nike's going to want to do that.
Businesses like Nike definitely are. Yeah, businesses gonna, like, some, like, I know the first NIL thing that I saw was Bo Nix, the quarterback for Auburn. He got endorsed by, like, Milo's Sweet Tea or something like that. Okay, a company like that, yeah. If you say, okay, you have to endorse a player from here, endorse a player, like, blah, blah, they might do that. But Nike's not going
to
do it.
Yeah, they have no reason to.
Gatorade's not going to do
Nike,
it.
Nike is so huge that them signing these athletes is just cherry on the top for them. They're not going to sign Max Duggan for TCU. Sorry.
Yeah, they're not going to sign the 29-year-old punter from Oklahoma State for this. So,
yeah.
You know, I have always kind of been on the fence of should college athletes be paid in general. Like, I could never really take a side. I was always so conflicted because you can see both sides.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, but these athletes should be going to college. They are student athletes. They are not student athletes.
They are getting paid by not having to pay for college.
Exactly. And then practically, like, some of these athletes literally almost don't even go to class. They literally have, like, a personal tutor.
Yeah.
So, it's so conflicting to me. But
Now they really don't have a reason to go to class. Now they're making money playing football. It's just the NFL, but they are at a campus. So,
and still having to do schoolwork. Their tutor is just probably doing most of it for them.
Yeah.
But, like, it just seems so, it's so conflicting to me. Because some of these names of these athletes, they're out there 24/7. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs. These players' names are used for everything. Anything that that college puts out, it's going to be used. Jalen Suggs' picture is going to be on anything at Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence's picture is going to be on anything at Clemson. So, yeah, their name, image, and likeness is used. But you're also getting paid to go to be a student at this university as well.
Yeah.
Which is so conflicting to me. So, you know, I like it and I don't at the same time.
It's tough because obviously we want to see the best for these athletes and we want the best for these athletes. But also there's just the other side of it that it's competitively not going to help anybody. It's not going to help let's say a Cincinnati joining the Big 16. What team is, or what player is going to go pick Cincinnati? Because, I mean, money-wise, it doesn't make sense. There's just so many things to it. I think it's started pretty good, the NIL, but we just haven't seen any recruiting classes yet, and we haven't seen how it's actually shaping up recruiting.
Well, then also, like, think of it like basketball. Men's basketball, the players that are going to get those deals from the Nikes and the Gatorades and those really big name companies are not going to be there for more than a year. Yeah. They're going to do the one and done. So what is that doing for them? Truthfully and honestly, what is 1 year being endorsed by Nike when you're going to go to the NBA and get endorsed by Nike for the rest of your career? What is that 1 year doing for you? What is that 1 year making the difference? What's that difference a season's gonna make?
Not a lot. So, and also, I don't think there's a ton. I mean, there's viewers, obviously, but I think we can both agree that the most talked about time about college basketball is March Madness. So, why would you go to a team that doesn't have a chance of even making March Madness?
Yeah, like,
that is when college basketball is talked about.
Which, this is a whole other podcast. I'm just gonna use this so I can make a point. Like, the whole March Madness, men's and women's basketball, the weight room things. Okay, for the NCAA, college basketball brings in more money than any other sport. Like, not college basketball in general, men's college basketball, because of March Madness.
Yeah, it's because it's such a long-watched tournament.
Well, and because it's so, not to, like, to make a pun, but it's like mad. It's crazy. It's so like the amount of time I spend making a bracket.
Yeah.
I spend hours making a bracket. I research these teams. I look at these teams. I look at their records. I look at how many games they've won in the last week. Like, you look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the amount of time and energy that people just put into watching it, into engaging in this, like, that's insane. It's crazy.
Oh yeah.
So,
but yeah, NIL, I think they're going to have to figure out regulation on it, but it's going to be hard because how do you regulate a Nike? How do you regulate a Gatorade? You can't. They're not signed on with the NCAA.
And they're not ever going to be.
Yeah, so,
because if they are, then there's no need for name, image, and likeness for a player to be endorsed by Nike, because everything's going to be Nike. What are you going to get? You know what I mean?
Well, just overall pay and overall, I mean, I'm just kind of rambling, but, like, I want to see these kids make money, and I don't think a Trevor Lawrence, now, obviously, he just made bank getting first round, or the first pick, but however long he started there making nothing, you know, I think that's just a little scummy, but there's no reason for. At this point, it's just going to be competitively unbalanced, but.
And I think it's going to have to do with where athletes are going to start going to college.
Yeah.
I think these athletes might not even, at some point, pick the best program, but they're going to pick the school that's going to make the most money for them.
Yeah. Like, let's say Texas football continues to suck. Kids are going to still go to Texas even if Sarkisian is winning four games a year.
Because Texas is going to make the money because Texas, just Texas in general, the name, image, and likeness of the University of Texas makes so much money.
Yeah.
So that athlete that wears the University of Texas across their chest is kind of making just as much money. Even if
you are the bum on the bench, you are probably still making money going to Texas.
You're still
going to
make more money than
Iowa State.
Best player at Cincinnati, or the best player at Memphis, or the best player at UCF.
So, yeah, I mean, that's our Texas OU talk. got a little heated, but there's so many angles to it, and it's gonna be fun in a sense to see how they do it all, because there's so much to it.
Well, and to see what happens over the next 4 years between when this coming up season and when this proposed move is gonna happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's also going to be such a weird standstill for 5 years, because we know they're leaving
we're
for
gonna
5 years.
We're going to watch 4 to 5 seasons of football.
That doesn't really matter.
Everyone's going to be like, what's going on? Like, why are we? Yeah.
So it's going to be weird, but I don't know. I think, yeah. So I do have a question for you. I know you're over there worrying so much.
I am worried about this question.
Like, I'm about to ask you something ridiculous. So
yeah, I'm a little worried about that, Michael.
What sport would you like this question to be over?
I don't know. Just ask me the question.
Well, I mean, I want you to be able to answer it.
I would preferably say football. You know, that's kind of my niche.
Okay. Do you think, let me figure out how to phrase this.
Oh gosh.
Do, in the current format, now let's say that we're in the college football eight team format. We'll say we're going to that. Do you think a 3-loss SEC team could make it?
3-loss SEC now, or 3-loss SEC with?
This is Texas OU and SEC. This is with an 8-team playoff.
Okay.
Do you think a 3-loss SEC team can make it? So obviously I think we talked about earlier, there would be
the four pods.
Well, for the 8-team college playoffs, there'd be the five
Power five schools
and their champions, then 3 wild cards. So obviously that SEC 3-loss SEC team would be one of the wild cards.
Okay, I'm gonna look at this like what we had pulled up earlier about the pods. So
we've never seen a 3-loss team in the playoffs, right? That's outrageous.
I don't think we have, no.
So, like, 2 is your cutoff right now.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could.
Really? So you think...
Because if you think about it, like...
So how many games do they play?
Usually 12.
Okay.
So there would be 9-3.
So you think a 9-3 SEC team could make it...
Well, let's just say... I'll just use A&M because I think A&M would be the best example. So A&M, in their pod, is LSU. So they would lose to LSU. If they played another pod, they would lose to Bama. And then they would lose to Oklahoma. That's 3 losses. Yeah. You could also say that they could lose to Georgia or Florida. Those are all great teams. So...
Yeah.
I think it would have to depend on...
Also, this is such
the other conferences, and you know, like everything would have to play into this.
Yeah. This is very bold and like.
I think possibly, depending on one, who the team is, I think the college football playoffs is so much about the name on the front of your jersey, mm-hmm. not your record. Sometimes I think like an undefeated UCF, a 2-loss Cincinnati, like you're talking about teams that are really good.
Yeah.
Or record-wise, are really good. But the name on the front of the jersey is not really good. So I do think very much so, like, the name on the front of your jersey matters. And I think it's very important. So depending on who the team was and depending on who they lost to, I could totally see a 3-loss team getting in.
I think that's fair.
Only from the SEC, not from any other conference.
No other conference, because that would mean a 3-loss team in the ACC would probably be the 3rd-best team.
A 3-loss team in the SEC would probably be the 2nd-best team.
The ACC.
Oh, yeah, the ACC. A 3-loss team in the ACC would probably be the 2nd-best team.
Actually, that's fair. So,
because it's like usually like Clemson and then everybody else. And there's like a group of them that are kind of good and like close together. And then everyone else is just awful.
So that 3-loss, yeah, there's just no other conference that could field a 3-loss. No.
There's nothing that could like that conference could like support a 3-loss team or make there would no other conference could make the argument that the 3-loss team could get in.
Yeah. Because there's, like, when you've lost 3 times, you've probably lost the 3 best teams in your conference.
Even the Big 12 now with Oklahoma and Texas, nobody could make the argument that a 3-loss team is good enough to get in there.
Yeah, because if you lose to TCU,
because if you lost 3 games,
State and Kansas, ain't nobody gonna put you.
If you lost 3 games in the Big 12, you probably lost 1 to OU.
Yeah.
You could have possibly lost 1 to Oklahoma State, and possibly Iowa State, but.
But
teams that lose to those 3 are also losing to the West Virginias, the Texases, the Techs. Like, they're not good teams anyways.
So, but they also, you have to, by losing those 3 games, you have to have enough good wins.
Yeah,
and
which you don't.
There's not enough good wins. What, your best win is Texas?
If you lose in the SEC, I use A&M saying they lost to Oklahoma.
You could still beat
Alabama,
Georgia.
And you LSU. You could still beat Florida. You could still beat Georgia. Sometimes Tennessee's good. You could still beat Tennessee.
South Carolina. I mean, like, they're still
like, Mizzou good. Sometimes has their good season. You could still beat Mizzou. You could still beat Texas. Like, you still...
Yeah,
Arkansas, when... Sometimes Arkansas's
on. I think Arkansas's on the rise,
Arkansas,
too.
Like, you're talking about these teams that still have a reputation of being good. And these other conferences, if you lose to somebody, okay, you might have a good loss, but you're going to have bad wins.
Yeah. Which is so weird to say, but that's how college football is.
Yeah,
you
like you
have bad wins, and
like you might beat Oklahoma State and you might beat OU, but you might lose to TCU. That's a bad win.
Yeah,
I mean
a lot. Well, yes, a bad loss.
Yes.
And then,
or you might lose to OU and win to TCU. That's a good loss and a bad win.
So it just counteracts itself.
Exactly. So.
I think
yes.
Now obviously that would only
happen. The answer
happen,
to your question is yes, in that long.
Yes, and that would only happen in a Texas OU going to OS, or SEC, mm-hmm. and that would only happen in an 8-team playoff.
Well, and
so
this,
obviously we're just working
14,
off of predictions and projections.
And this 14-team SEC, that won't even happen. That couldn't happen, a 3-team
yeah,
loss.
I still don't think there's enough.
There's not enough good teams.
That just is generally us saying how good this SEC football, and obviously other
And honestly, it's really OU. It's not. I'm not really... adding Texas in there. Like, Texas would be a decent win, especially in the SEC. Because
yeah,
in the SEC...
But think about it. It's going to be a more decent win than a South Carolina.
Yeah, but in the SEC, a 6-6 Texas is pretty good. In the Big 12...
Better than probably a 10-2 TCU.
Well, in the Big 12, a 6-6 Texas is not good.
No, it's awful. You're getting made fun of.
Like, who did you beat?
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
So, which goes back to this whole conferences, like, literally a catastrophe of conferences other than the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But, all right. I think we had a good talk, Chloe. About an hour and a half. thank you for coming on. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Anything else you'd like to say?
I think I'm all out of all my opinions on Texas and OU right now. I'll probably think of one later. I got all sorts of opinions on them.
Okay. thank you for listening. Share and like the podcast. I think you can like the podcast. I don't really know how that works. But thank you for listening, and goodbye.